Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Countrified UK podcast, brought to you all the way from the United Kingdom, bringing you your weekly fix of everything country. And now your hosts, Ben and Blaine.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Countrified UK. This is episode number 47. It's been a long time coming. I know it's been a little while, but we're finally back in 2024, and what a schedule we've got for you. So I hope everyone had an amazing 2023 and happy new year, and hope 2024 is fantastic to everybody. This episode today is very special. It's got two massive interviews on. One interview is someone that we wanted on the podcast from day one, and we've talked about it for such a long time, and that is Chase Matthew. And then our other interview that follows that is with another country music star that's coming up in the rising, well known to the UK audience, and that is Calista Clark. So what an episode that is. But after we took a little time off after CMA Fest and got everything in order, these two interviews are actually from the CMA Festival. We took the whole back end of the back year off to lock down, get a good schedule put in place. So we've got so many top interviews that we've done already and that we've got coming up. And this schedule is going to probably take us up to See the Sea weekend. And we have got something massively planned, lined up for that as well. So it's an exciting time for Countrified UK. But 2024 is shaping up to be such a year. Like I say, we're going to be in attendance at country to country, and we're going to be doing a whole bundle of stuff. We'll also be there seeing Darius Rucker in Newcastle in April, and his support act, if you haven't already seen him before, is Tyler Booth, and he just screams country as well. We will also be at CMA Fest again this year, and we will be hopefully doing with press, getting interviews, getting all the latest gossip from all your country stars. And then we've got a whole bundle of interviews in between with people who's coming across the UK live on tour, but we'll get a bit into that a bit more later on in the year. So just to tell you a bit about today's interview. So like I said before, he's one of our favourite country stars here at Countrified UK. If you ever go back and listen to episodes 1, 2, and 3, you'll hear straight from the beginning, he was one of the people that we wanted on for so long. We actually met Chase Matthew back in Nashville in 2022 at CMA Fest, where we went and seen him live, got a meet up with him, got a chill with him for a bit, and just got talking. And then roll on a year later, when we were back in Nashville for CMA Fest, we were just randomly at a bar one night, Old Reds on Broadway, which for yous that don't know, that is Blake Shelton's bar, and Chase Matthew was performing live in there. So we went, watched a couple of his songs, obviously had to sing County Lines, and we got talking to Chase. He spotted out in the crowd. After his set, he came down and talked to her. He was asking what we're up to in Nashville for the week. And just lo and behold, exchanged more contact details, and then we sat down with him in Nashville. So this is the end product of it all. He's unbelievable. Definitely listen to his story. Gets a bit emotional at some points, but yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it. So here is Chase Matthew. So we are now joined by Chase Matthew, someone that we've wanted on the podcast since day one.
We're here.
How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm so glad to be here, man. We said we were going to do it. We ran into each other the other day, Wednesday at Old Red.
Yeah.
And we said we were going to make it happen, so we did. We're here.
And how's CMFS been for you so far?
Man, it's been a blast. You know, I'm actually from here, so I'm from Nashville. And, you know, I've been coming here my whole life and, seeing, you know, the way it's kind of transitioned into such, a huge, huge, huge festival. And, man, it's such a great time. I'm glad I got to be a part of it, you know. It's a good dream come true.
And is this your second time playing it?
It is. It is. Last year we played on the Dr. Pepper Amp stage. We handed out 1,500 free T-shirts last year. This year we had to up it. So we doubled it. We did 3,000 T-shirts, and we played the Riverfront stage this morning, 10 a.m. on a Sunday. Took everybody to church. I know there were some hungover people in there because Saturday was last night. So it was a good time, man. And yeah, it's been great so far.
Right, it's been nice to see like the journey with you, especially at TMFS, because we came last year as fans.
Yeah.
And we got to meet you upstairs at the meet and greet.
Right.
And then we were at front and center at the Dr. Pepper stage. And crazy. That was insane. And we even got one of your white t-shirts.
We threw them out last year. Yeah. I saw a few of those t-shirts came through the meet and greet earlier. And it was really cool to, you know, to see that come around full circle again.
So like, you've been really busy recently. Your new album just dropped 2 days ago. Come Get Your Memory.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a tiny bit about that and how it feels putting this new project out?
Man, Come Get Your Memory is one of my favorite projects we've released so far. You know, I know everybody, as an artist, we all try to hype our music up, but man, there's something in there for everybody. And I don't know how much you guys have got to listen to it since it came out, but there's heartbreak songs, you know, there's up songs, there's party songs, but there's also songs that talk about believing in yourself. You know, there's songs about, you know, maybe missing a pet that might have passed away. And, you know, there's a dog song in there, and you know, there's something for everybody. And man, I just love it. I got to work with some awesome people this year and just awesome writers. And they've really, you know, changed my outlook a lot on writing songs and new ways to write songs. And, I mean, I couldn't have done it without them.
And you posted a picture on Instagram yesterday with Hardy,
yeah,
Matt Stell, and Hunter Phelps.
Like, yes.
And they got credit on the album.
They do.
Which songs did they help with?
So me and Matt wrote a song called Fall for Those Eyes. And that song came about somehow. Somehow our redneck asses ended up in a private jet. I don't know how this happened. So we're sitting in a locker room in Georgia at this college. We were playing a show at, and told him the idea and we wrote it. And that's how that came to be, man. He's very talented. Hardy was outside cut, and which is a huge opportunity for me, man, because what an awesome guy, like huge writer, dude. And, you know, I don't got to explain who he is. If you don't know who he is, you live under a rock. But Hardy's the man, and got to hang out with him at Carolina Country Music Fest this weekend. And it's full circle. Hardy did Somebody Else's Truck, and he was also a writer on Girl I Know. Man, great songs. Go check them out. Hunter Phelps was also a writer on one of those. And I've wrote probably like two or three with him now. And so, man, that dude is just an absolute freaking beast in a room.
So, like, obviously, you put an album out last year as well.
Yeah.
Born for this, like, how do you feel like your music, do you think it's differed ever so slightly since
maybe
you've grown?
A little bit. I think it, more than anything, I don't know if differed's the right word, like different, but I think I've grown. You know, man, I have kind of found the lane that I like to make and what I don't like to make. And you know, but I kind of like to make everything, but I do have a, you know, a box that it kind of has to stay in a little bit. Every once in a while we step outside the box, and if it works, we'll run with it. But man, I mean, I've tried everything from rap songs to you name it, man. We're trying to change the game, do something different this year. And, you know, man, it's cool to see the way that we've grown. And as a team, as a band, as writers, as managers, as everything, man, partnered with Warner Music Nashville, and they have just absolutely fought for me since day one. And I love where I'm at.
Well, that's one of the things that we love about you, because like, you like song Cheap Shots,
yeah,
like County Lines, Born for This, like, yeah. And then even you've got a song with David Morris.
Yeah, so dude,
it's just amazing to see like all these different like types of music that you're right. doing, but still under the country genre. So is there a sort of favorite one that you sort of go towards?
Man, I really like the stuff we've done recently. There's a song called Blink on the new album, and I really like that song, man. It's a huge, you know, big drums, big guitars, and it just talks a lot about the way I was raised. And you know, I remember for a while there, I was working so much that I was kind of losing sight of like who I was there for a second. And you know, I feel like we all do that, because we're all workaholics, man. If we chase our dreams, we work hard at it. And I remember when I heard this song Blink, I was like, man, that is me. That's me, man. And we took the video camera out to the woods, caught up a bunch of my buddies, and we just kicked it. And man, it literally just turned out to just be this video of just, man, just me again. I felt like me again. I felt like I was making videos with low budgets before this thing turned into this big, huge, you know, huge budget videos and all this. Man, it felt good to get back to the roots, man. And people are going to be seeing a lot of that. I'm getting back to the roots, man. We're going to turn it up a little bit.
Going back to the roots as well, like saying at Old Red the other night, there was like a few familiar faces in the crowd as well, because we bumped into Joe Tyler.
Yeah, dude, Joe Tyler, bro. Yeah. Man, dude, Joe Tyler. I can't believe you're – dude, I love Joe Tyler, man. That guy, man, that dude has been, like – he's always had my back. And, you know, I don't know, like, a whole lot about, like, his backstory and like where he started. But I do know this, man, that dude, if a fight went down in the bar, that dude's crashing with me. Like, we're going. And that to me means more than anything, dude. That dude's a real one. And man, he actually just dropped a song with Colt Ford.
Right.
So man, y'all got to check that out, man. That dude's an insanely, insanely talented writer. If that dude wrote country songs, we'd kill all the matter of fact, I'm calling him. We get out of here. We're going to go write one. We're going to do it.
I hope we get a bit of credit for that one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I ain't going to lie. You kind of got it. You'll get it here first, right here on Country Fried.
But another thing as well, what we really loved about was your song Born for This, like the music video for that. What was the whole idea about that? Like showing clips of you when you were growing up?
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Born for This is a phrase that my dad told me. I went and auditioned for this private school in Nashville, and I remember, I don't know what was wrong with the guys that day, but he was just kind of like really rude and was just like, man, you're not good enough, man. I got stuff to do, man. Get out of here. And I'll never forget my dad like losing his shit on this guy, right? Like, he was like, anyways, we left and my dad was like, listen, son, like, don't dwell on that, man. Like, you were born for this. And for some reason that stuck with me for so long, man. And it's always stuck with me. And I've manifested the project Born for This for so long. And it just felt like the right time to do it. And if you watch the music video, you see a lot of clips of me as a child, because since I was born, man, there's been a camera on me. Like, I mean, as soon as I came out, it was right. No, I'm just kidding. But since my first birthday, I have tracked down footage from family members and aunts and uncles and found footage all the way back to my first birthday in 1998. And so all the way from 1998 up till now, I have filmed my life. And Born for This just became this video of me. I've always had a musical instrument in my hand. I've always been a gearhead. In 2017, I went through a tough time. My best friend passed away. My dad moved back to New Mexico, which was a great decision, because, you know, I've branched out so much more to my other family members. But I know I'm talking a lot, but my dad had this car. It's a 1965 Plymouth Satellite. And he's had that car since he was 19 years old. And I remember me and my dad always watching this TV show called TLC, on TLC, called Overhauling. It was Chip Foose. And he would go and like steal people's cars, and they would think their cars are stolen. But then he would like restore them into what they wanted. And like the person that they stole it from, their family would like be involved. And I always had this dream of like saving my dad's car and finally getting that damn thing running. And I remember my uncle brought it to Tennessee. And shortly after that, my dad got a divorce, and he was forced to sell the car. Me, I was young. I didn't know what to do. I had to sell the car for him. We sold the car for $800, and it broke him. It broke him tremendously. And I remember my manager telling me when all this stuff started really happening, and it started really happening for me, man, he was like, so you're going to get a check for X amount. First off, I freaked out because I'd never seen that much money in my life. He said, what's the first thing you're going to buy? I had to think for 3 days on it, but I knew that was what the first thing I wanted to buy, but I just didn't think it was possible, because how the hell am I going to track this car down? Right? Like, I never thought I was ever going to see that car again. My dad kept talking about that car, man. I wish you never got rid of it. Me too, Dad. Dude, I had to go get my iPhone 6 with a shattered front screen, or no, it was a 4S. I had a 4S with a shattered front screen on it. The battery was all swollen out of it. And I took it to this guy, and I paid him like $400 to literally solder this thing back together just so I could get the phone number off of it. Tracked the car down, found it 3 hours from here in a million pieces. But I bought the car back, sold it for $800, bought it back for $12,000. Way worse than I sold it. But you know what? We got it back, and I surprised my dad with it. And it's in the Born for This video, and we are currently restoring it. So dreams do come true, man. And I get choked up every time I try to tell that story, but I love my dad. It's my best friend, man.
That's unbelievable. Like, thank you for sharing that with us as well.
Yeah.
But you're like one of our favorite songs that put us onto the map with you was County Lines.
Yeah.
Can we talk a tiny bit about that song, please?
And yeah, what, man. It's about? So I wrote that song in my bedroom. This was the song that changed everything. County Line was which has now gone on to be my first gold record, about to go platinum. Here in the U.S. And it's just been, insane to see what it's done. I was sitting in my bedroom, and I was just kind of in this spell with this girl I was with at the time. And I told her, I was like, you know, I need some time to kind of figure out what I want to do. She ran off with this guy up to East Tennessee, and I guess they had a good time. Well, her friend ratted her out and told me who it was and everything. So I looked this guy up, and like I wrote a song about her and this guy, and I don't even remember his name, and I feel bad for him. But, you know, turns out now that she's happy and everything's good. So congrats to her, man. No hate towards her, because I probably owe her one for writing this song. So, but man, it's a great song. Wrote it in my bedroom, recorded it on a $200 laptop with a $200 microphone, and sent it off to get it mixed and mastered and a little bit of production done on it. And man, it has turned out to be an absolute life-changing experience. So you can make something of yourself, man. It doesn't matter. I mean, I was renting a bedroom for $400, bro, a month at the time. And it's just crazy to see going from that and sleeping in a house that the door didn't even lock on, you know, and going from that to where we are today. So
yeah, well, dreams really do become true, yeah. Because you are living out your dream.
Yeah, man. You just got to trust God's plan, man. He'll put you where you're supposed to be. A lot of people are too scared to talk about that, but it's the truth.
And what's your favorite song to perform live?
Ooh, right now, it's probably The Way I Am or Love You Again. Love You Again has been translating really well. People seem to really be connecting with that one. It's currently at country radio, which is insane, because that's a dream come true as well. And man, it's a full circle moment, man. It's been a hell of a year, and we're just getting started. We're only halfway through it. Not even halfway through it. And yeah, man, we're about to turn it up. Album is out now. Just get ready.
So with the album coming out like a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. What has the rest of 2023 got in store for you?
Dude, we're going to do a bunch of shows this year. We're going to get out there, as you probably, I think you told me, congrats. You congratulated me. I just bought my first tour bus. And so we're going to run the wheels off that thing until it blows up. And when it blows up, we're going to put a new motor in it and keep rolling. Till that thing rusts in half, we're going to run the wheels off of it. And that's what it's about, man. You got to go out here. You got to feed the fish. You got to hang out with the fans and give them what they want, man. So here's 25 songs. We're coming to your city. And if we ain't, tell your people you want to have us there. We'll be there.
Perfect. Well, we'd love to get you across to the UK at one point.
We're working on it right now. I just had my first meeting about it, and we'll put it together for sure. I'll definitely come see you guys too when we're there.
Perfect. Well, that's music to our ears, but thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and like one of our dreams come true, like to have you on the podcast, because you were one of the first people
thank you, man.
We set it up, says Chase Matthews, yeah. This is who we have to have on. So,
oh man, but, I appreciate that, man. Y'all have been working hard too, man. I've loved to see the growth with y'all as well. So thank you guys for having me.
Well, best of luck for the rest of 2023, and we'll get to see what happens with you.
For sure.
Cheers.
So there you guys have it. There's Chase Matthews' interview with Countrified UK. Honestly, I can't stress enough how much of a cool dude he is. Someone that you can sit down with, as you can probably tell, he's ride or die. And before, when he was saying that he's going to come across to the UK, after further discussions with Chase after this interview and speaking to him throughout the year, I think that's definitely going to be a case in 2024. So if you are in the UK and you get a chance to see him, like, please do not miss up on this opportunity, because it's fantastic. But his shows are crazy as well. Like, if you ever get the opportunity as well, if you see him in his hometown, like Nashville, like, he definitely brings out the most wildest crowd. It's crazy. Like, there's people just drinking beer, going, jumping up and down. I would love to go to like one of his sort of more earlier shows where he was doing bonfire parties right in the middle of like the sticks, right in the holler, as he would call it. But yeah, so I really hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. So come like 2024, like, we've got so much happening, like I said before, but we've locked in some amazing interviews. In the next couple of episodes, you can expect to see like Ryan Griffin, Restless Road, Lakeview, Presley Tennant, Drew Green. So keep your eyes peeled for all these episodes dropping very soon. But one interview that we're going to put on next is the Calista Clark interview. So Calista's just very young and talented. She hails from Georgia. I actually got to see her perform live in Glasgow back in 2022 at Country to Country. And at this point, she was just performing on the spotlight stage. So for all of you that's been the Country to Country, as we've talked about before, you've got like the main stage. And then when the artist is finished on the main stage, it shoots across to the spotlight stage where someone will perform two or three songs and then go back to like the main stage as well. And so it was just fantastic seeing her in this setting, because it was just her on stage and her in a very acoustic performance, playing like some of her biggest hits. But just from that moment in time, we just knew how talented Kalista was. And when we got the opportunity to interview her in Nashville, like, we couldn't pass it up. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. This is Kalista Clark's interview with Countrified UK. Now joined by Kalista Clark. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well. And you joined us at CMA Fest. So how was your week looking this week for you?
Going good. I started out, this is the first day, and I woke up at 3 a.m. was on the news live at 5 a.m. Yeah. Bright and early, but still dark outside that early. And it's been so much fun already. There's so many fans here. Everybody's so excited. And got a bunch of other meetings and things like, or interviews today, and a bunch of shows all the other days of the week. So perfect. It's going to be a little more spread out this year, but super fun.
And how many times have you played CMA Fest now?
This is my second CMA Fest.
Second.
Yep. I'm so excited.
So is there an artist as well that you're looking forward to seeing this year perform?
I got to go with Lainey Wilson. I know she already kicked off the Riverfront stage, and she is going to be in the stadium,
yeah,
which is incredible. She's killing it, and I'm sure she's going to do just incredible.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that, because I'm sure she'll hop on stage with Hardy on the Saturday night as well.
Yes.
So for people that back home that might not have heard of you before, could you just give us a little description into your journey into music and a bit about who you are as well?
Yeah, well, I'm Kalista. Nice to meet all of you. And I'm from a really small town in Georgia called Zebulon. It's in the middle of nowhere, country people, everybody knows everybody. And I grew up singing in church. My granddad is a pastor of the church. And yeah, I've been singing since I could talk. Church is the first place I sang when the microphone was bigger than my face. And I fell in love with music from there. And I've been learning more instruments, writing more songs, and doing it ever since then.
Talking about instruments, is it true that you play 8 instruments?
It is true. It's a bit of a stretch, because I learned just like a little bit of each thing.
Just to get you by.
Yeah, I got really bored during COVID. So. Right. But I would say I'm best at guitar and piano.
Amazing. And what other instruments is it that you're able to play?
Oh, my gosh. There's mandolin in there, a little bit of banjo, bass, electric guitar, a keytar. Got really bored during COVID. That was a random one, but a little bit of everything.
And for people that might not know as well, you're the youngest member of the CMT's Next Woman of Country as well. How did that feel like, knowing that you were like the youngest member ever?
Oh, so amazing. Leslie Fram, she is just the queen of Nashville. She's the freaking best. And, you know, that was also my actual graduation year. So it was pretty surreal being the youngest person my graduation year, class of for CMT. It was an awesome year, and it's such a huge honor to be part of that class.
Because you're still so young, like 19, is
yeah.
it still? And like, you've been making music like since you were 11, like you say, playing in churches and that. So like, from writing songs back then to like making them now, how far do you think your music's come on, and like, how much have you learned in that space of time?
I've learned so much, and I've learned so much about my sound and my narrative lyrically. My first album was all written during the years of like 14 through 17. So I'm 19 now. I've been writing a lot this year, especially since I've been off the road a little bit and in Nashville a lot more for the first time in forever, it seems like. So I've been writing a lot about, you know, all my experiences being on the road, different sounds that I've heard from other people that I've loved. And it's just been really fun to be creative again.
So one of our favorite singles by you is Brave Girl. Can you tell us a tiny bit about that song as well, please?
Brave Girl, I wrote when I was probably newly 15. It was a while ago. And I was with Ben Johnson and Emily Landis, who are two great songwriters in town. And they were just asking me what I was going through as a person, versus the whole artist thing, which is very different sometimes, because at the same time I was learning how to drive and I was like going through a breakup and I was trying to figure out how to be confident in myself walking into all of these rooms while, you know, having a record deal and doing, so it was really strange to figure out. And we were talking about that and like, oh, well, why don't we just write about that? And we started about following your dreams and being bold and being brave, and ended up complimenting Real to Me and my first single, It's 'Cause I Am, really well. So.
Oh, perfect. And one of your like most famous singles that people know is It's 'Cause I Am. So how did it feel getting like that sort of reception and then many streams and everything?
Oh, it's hard to even explain how that feels, to have something that you wrote, you know, be received by people that well. I wrote it as a way to introduce myself to the world as a country artist and say, you know, I'm here, this is what I do. Even though I'm young, you know, like, this is what I love to do. And it just exploded, which is so great to see as an artist and as a songwriter and a young girl trying to make it in this industry. I mean, it was more reassurance than I ever could have imagined.
And like, Megan, like going forward in the future, do you have anyone that you wouldn't like, is your dream collaboration to be on a track with?
I have a lot of people. I listen to all sorts of different music, so I'm all over the place genre-wise. But, I mean, Lainey Wilson is the person to do a duet with right now. I love her to death. She's so sweet. Miss Carly Pierce, she's on my label, killing it. But not something with Chris Stapleton. It's going to be so awesome. Dan and Shay. Shay can sing his face off.
Yeah.
It's so good. I could keep going on and on. There's so many talented people here.
Oh, well, hopefully one day we'll get to see a track with you and them on it. And one question that I've got to ask you is, obviously you've performed in the UK, like country to country, and done like other shows across there. What's the difference, because we love asking people this, like between the UK fans and the US fans that you can find?
You guys are so quiet and so attentive. Like, it's a great thing. The closest thing I can compare it to here is when I do listening room type shows, and everyone, there's rules.
Yeah.
Like, we have to have rules here for people to like sit and be quiet through the songs and listen, and we tell stories and more about the songwriting experience and things like that. And you guys just show up and that's just what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys sit there and you're so attentive and you watch. And I always say that when I played C2C, I was in the little spotlight stage that was in the middle of the arena, which was so crazy, in between the headlining acts. I think it's so awesome that you guys do that, by the way. And I always tell people, I didn't know there was thousands and thousands of people around me. Like, I would have no idea if my eyes were closed, because you guys were so silent while I was playing. It's incredible. And then as soon as you're done, it's just like the roar of all the people. But I love it so much over there.
So like, in terms of that, do you prefer performing in like more intimate venues, or do you prefer performing in like arenas and bigger stages?
I love both. There's something special about everything. You guys, though, are the rare breed that makes it feel like it is an intimate venue, no matter how many people are there. So I think that's really special.
That's really nice to hear that, because England isn't known for being quiet in many things, but at least it is for country concerts.
Yeah.
And so, final question, but what has the rest of 2023 got in store for you?
I'm writing a lot. I am doing festivals and stuff like that. Obviously, CMA Fest, we're here. It's finally here. I'm so excited for all the shows. Just writing a lot and being creative again, hopefully working on some new music. It's so much fun.
It's so good. And like CMA Fest, like you did your meet and greet before, and it's just must be so nice to finally be able to meet the fans that listen to your music.
Yes, and a lot of people from C2C. A lot of people from Germany when I was on tour with Brett Young, and people coming all the way over to Nashville. It's so crazy. I love to see it. There's fans from all over the place.
Oh, well, thank you for sitting down and talking to us. Have a fantastic rest of the CMA Fest, and have a brilliant and successful 2023 as well.
Thank you so much. You guys are the best.
No worries. Thank you.
And there you have it. And what a pleasure that was, speaking to Calista Clark there. For such a young girl, for someone who's been in the industry what seems like for such a long time as well, and what she's achieved so far is just phenomenal. Someone that's going to be exciting to keep tabs on, because like I said before, she's achieved so much, but I believe there's just so much more potential that she hasn't even unlocked yet, and it's just going to be fun to watch her journey. and see her like grow to one of the biggest female country stars as well. So if again, another one, if you get a chance to see her, definitely get to a show when she comes across here in the UK. But that's it for the interviews. We've got more episodes dropping in the next few days/weeks. So during these episodes as well, we're going to go back to an old format of where we've got like your country music news, where we will be inducting our class of 2024. So for all of you that haven't listened to that one before, it's where we pick artists where we think they're going to have like a breakout year. And we will be recapping on 2023 and talking about some of the biggest songs of that year as well. So definitely looking forward to doing all that. So next episode, episode number 48, I can probably say that it's going to have Ryan Griffin on, and our really good friends, Restless Road, which was a fun interview because we did that one live in Nashville as well, where we did it from the Sony Music Publishing Studios. And there's stories behind that one. So once again, thanks for listening, guys. And we will catch up on the next episode on episode number 48. Take care.